I'm so glad you visited our church website and clicked on the link to this message, slated for Sunday, March 21st, 2020. I don't know that America has ever faced a set of challenges exactly like the ones we are facing today. Our church leaders do feel there is a significant health risk in our nation and community, but regardless of opinions, we believe we have an obligation to honor the directives of our president and our governor and not assembling for a time. We believe these directives are for the imminent protection of our church family and for the sake of our community, and so we hope our actions will help promote the health and safety of others. Probably the most daunting, nagging question for most Christians is why? God, why is this happening? Why this virus? Why all the economic and social fallout affecting billions? It's having a domino effect that has either ruined or rattled the life of everyone in a myriad of ways. There is not a life that has not been touched in some significant way. And frankly, because of the scope of this, that is the question that no one but God can answer completely and with absolute certainty. There are most likely many reasons for these difficult times, and they may not necessarily be the same for all communities, churches, or individuals involved. Yes, there are probably multiple ways in which God is at work, but rest assured, God is at work in your life through this. And rest assured, God is working to draw you closer to Him, to continue to press you into the image of His Son, and to manifest His power and nature in your life. As the Lord told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to tell you today, whatever the future holds, Jesus says to you, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. The problem is bringing our will in line with His will and living life His way, with His values, His goals, His will in mind. This battle of wills is often the reason for struggles, and the only way to win this battle of wills is to surrender more of our life's ambitions to His Lordship, even when it may not seem best for us. One day, Adam was walking around the Garden of Eden, feeling lonely, and so God asked him, Adam, what's wrong with you? Well, I really don't have anyone to talk to, Adam said. So God said, Adam, you have yet to see my most unique and beautiful creation to date. This creature is called woman. No one has ever seen one of these before. This creature called woman will help bring you food. She will cook for you. And when you discover clothing, she will wash them for you. She will always agree with you in every decision that you make. And Adam, she will bear your children and never ask you to get up in the middle of the night to take care of them. She will not nag you. And when you have a disagreement, she will always be the first to admit she's wrong. She will never get a headache. And she will freely give you love and compassion all the days of your life. Adam said to God, what does a woman like this cost? And God said, it will cost you an arm and a leg. Adam said, so what can I get for a rib? And now you know the rest of the story. You see, when our wills are not aligned with God, it will eventually lead to disappointment and struggles and hardships of various kinds and various levels. In your relationship with your Heavenly Father, what steps could you take to make sure your desires align more closely to His? That is where all of us must look first in times of trouble. It doesn't mean that is always the case. The Old Testament character Job and the New Testament life of Christ are good examples. However, this is the best place to start when we are bothered with the question why. Next, even more important than the why of sufferings, is the response to suffering. If you're one to take notes, I quickly want to give you four short principles to remember in times of suffering, and the first is the most critical, and here it is. The outcome of our suffering is almost always contingent upon our response to suffering. The outcome of our suffering is almost always contingent upon our response to suffering. There may not always be a known why for our suffering, but I guarantee you 100% of the time there will always be a known response to our suffering. I've heard it said, suffering will either make you bitter or it will make you better, but it's a choice you make. It's not a choice that God makes. He can't. He pulled himself out of it when he blessed you with free will, but you will always have a response to suffering. That is true for a nation. That's true for an individual. The most critical principle to remember in times of suffering is our response. You may be worried or suffering from something much more dramatic than the coronavirus today or its fallout. And whatever it is you're suffering through, it didn't find you at a good time. At first blush, suffering is never welcome. On the surface, it never seems to make sense. We've all experienced this, and it will continue as long as we're living this earthly experience. Unfortunately, our knee-jerk reaction is to ask questions that begin with the word why. But we can ask better questions. We can ask what questions? What, Lord? What would you have me to do? What are you trying to teach me? A second principle. Not only is there the principle of response, suffering teaches us to trust God more. Any parent who loves their child will discipline their child because they want that child to be able to cope with the struggles of their sin nature, to be able to cope with the sin nature of others and the struggles of life. It's a tough world. And the tougher we are on ourselves, the better off we are in coping with this tough place we live in. God knows this to be true as well. He loves us too much to allow us to take the low road. Then ultimately, we understand that every trial we face, difficult as it may be, comes from the hand of God, who loves us and wants us to grow in trusting Him as the ultimate source of life and of blessing. The moment we accept the fact that our ordeal has been permitted, even intended by God, our perspective will change. We will find ourselves saying, God, you've allowed this in my life. I don't understand it, but I know that it couldn't have happened unless it was filtered through your loving hands. This thing is from you, and I accept it as an opportunity to trust you more. A third principle. In suffering, we not only find the principle of response, second, an opportunity to trust God more, but we also learn this. We also learn that suffering brings an opportunity to build character, to make us more like Christ. We live in a culture today where we are groomed to believe that success carries an expectation of being comfortable. There are digital assistants to turn on the lights and order our groceries. Streaming services allow us to customize music and television programming to our individual tastes. Our workspaces are climate controlled and ergonomically optimized. Being comfortable isn't wrong, but God is always more concerned with our character than our comfort or happiness. I'll say that again. God will always be more concerned with our character than with our comfort or happiness. Character and substance are always shaped in the crucible of adversity. Because He loves us, He is determined to teach us and to make us wiser and stronger, more like Him. How do we know this? Well, I've put together several passages that I want to quote. In fact, if you care to write these down, you may. I encourage you to. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Did you catch that? It was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. James chapter 1, verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, he says they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And here, Psalms 119, King David writes this. Perfect. He says in verse 71 of Psalm 119, "My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees." My suffering was good, for it ultimately taught me to pay attention, to take notice of your decrees. And then one more, Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. This is probably the most quoted Bible verse when we talk about the issue of suffering, difficulties, trials. In verse 3, we find these words. "We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." I'll say it again. Character and substance. From the scriptures we just read, character and substance are always shaped in the crucible of adversity. Why? Because he loves us. He is determined to teach us, to make us wiser, to make us stronger, to press us or mold us into his divine image. And then principle number 4. In suffering, we not only find the principle of response, second, not only the opportunity to trust God more, third, the opportunity to build character, but finally, we find another principle in Christian suffering, and that's that it draws us near to God. It prepares us to be more productive. It draws us near to God and prepares us to be more productive. How do we know that? Well, in John chapter 15, first 8 verses, 1 through 8, Jesus borrows a word picture from the plant kingdom. He explains that because he loves us, there are regular times when he must, as a gardener, do some pruning for us to grow and to blossom. It's a painful process, but the gardener is loving and he is devoted. And this next phrase, it's not original with me, but I love how this rolls off the tongue and thought. The Father is never closer to the vine than when he is pruning it. The Father is never closer to the vine than when he is pruning it. Brothers and sisters, we can know one thing for sure today. In the trials and the temptations and the uncertainties that we face, God couldn't be any closer to our nation, and he couldn't be any closer to us at this moment. And so the thing to do is to draw near to him, lean in to him, study his word, and trust him to provide for your needs and for the needs of our nation. God never allows pain without a purpose. God never allows pain without a purpose. He is using this time in our nation and in our community and in our individual lives for a purpose. And that's ultimately to draw us close to him, to prepare us to be more productive if we'll let him. In closing, I want to leave you with one more very important verse on the topic of trials and suffering. It's one of my favorite verses, and so it is, I'm sure, with many others because of the peace it offers. It's found in Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In this horizontal plane of human existence, there are all kinds of things that are bad. And bad things happening right now. There are many who are dying. There are many who are struggling with the loss of a job, employment, struggling with this illness. And the Bible never tries to sugarcoat that. In fact, numerous times in scriptures, we find the Bible reaffirming the difficulties of this experience. John 16:33 is one of the most obvious. It says, in a promise, in this world you will have tribulation. You will suffer here. It's part of being in this experience. But Romans 8:28 tells us that God stands over and above. He transcends this veil of tears, and as only God can, He has the power to take bad things and shape and mold them into that which will ultimately contribute to our good. It doesn't say bad things are good. That's not what it says. It just simply says that God has the power to take bad things and shape them into something beautiful, something good. Back to John 16:33. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, Christ says. I have overcome the world. And then continuing on in that same verse, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Wow, that's a great verse, great passage of scripture. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and it's because of that truth you can find peace in the world. It's a great truth, and I hope that you'll find that truth close to you today, very real to you today. No matter what part of suffering you're experiencing, may that be real to you today. One of my favorite people in history is a relatively unknown missionary by the name of Amy Carmichael. She was submerged in a life of suffering and obscurity most of her life, and in ministry to the people of India. She was born in 1867 in the village of Mellisle, Ireland, and Amy gave herself unconditionally to Christ, and she never looked back. When she landed in India, she remained there without a single furlough until she died on January 18, 1951, at age 83. In fact, she was bedridden the last 20 years of her life and used that time to write several of her books. She never came home from India, even after her fall, because India became her home, and the people of India were her people, and she loved them. And though for many years she lived as an invalid, her selfless life of service in suffering is captured in poems like these. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain free, thy soldier who would follow thee, from subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings. Not thus our spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. For all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. Amy Carmichael is not a household name today. Even in circles of active Christians, we don't know much about her service and sacrifice in India. We hear names like Billy Sunday or Charles Spurgeon or David Jeremiah or Billy Graham. And, you know, I think we might be surprised when we reach heaven's shores and find that the real giants of God's kingdom are those who willingly accepted suffering, willingly accepted sacrifice for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Coronavirus fears or not, you're struggling with something today. You're suffering through something today. But the first and foremost principle is our response. It's our response to this crisis, to the crises of life. There is a second, very important principle. Understand that if our response is right, a second opportunity will emerge, and that is the opportunity to trust God more. And then third, not only do we find from the principle of right response the opportunity to trust God, but the opportunity to build our character, to become more like Christ, the opportunity to be pressed into the image of God. Character and substance are always shaped in this crucible of suffering. And finally, suffering through the pruning of any good gardener, suffering draws us near to God. He is the Father who is never closer to us than when he is pruning as the good gardener would. And so I pray today that whatever it is you're struggling with, coronavirus or no, please know that God never allows pain without a purpose. He is never closer than through the struggles and resistance of this life. I pray that you will continue to remain strong in him, that you will continue to lean into him during these times of uncertainty. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for suffering. We thank you for difficulties because it makes us ultimately more like you. It brings about so many opportunities to trust, to grow, to be pruned, to be pressed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that is your goal. And ultimately, that's our goal. If we were honest, we would say that that, Father, is our goal. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the perfecting work that you're doing in suffering in our lives. We know that this experience is so brief. We don't really understand from this side of heaven the brevity and the smallness, the trivial sense of living this experience. Father, we trust you. And we trust you no matter what the future looks like. We know that that is the place, and leaning on you, that is the place where we find peace and purpose and joy for the journey. Father, we love you, and we thank you for all that you are. We thank you for all that you're doing at this time in our nation, in our church, and in us individually as your servants. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.